Next on BYUSN, most college football experts are picking BYU to finish low in the Big 12 this season. We'll tell you why we think BYU will be better than the experts think. Fresh off his third place finish at the Olympic Trials, BYU steeplechaser James Corrigan joins us to detail what he needs to do to qualify this weekend for Paris. Women's basketball transfer Kendra Gillespie joins the program to discuss why she chose to transfer to BYU. And who moved on between Ty Detmer and Robbie Bosco? And today's matchup features two College Football Hall of Famers, an impossible choice, Jim McMahon and Steve Young.
We're here to solve the impossible. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Wednesday, June 26th. I am Spencer Linton. He is BYU's current men's basketball dunk coach, Jerem Jordan.
So I told KBK, I said, you got to give us something for practice, bro.
And he did.
Just to give us some summer content. It's June 26th. It's getting a little slow here. You guys haven't signed anybody recently. So this is Kebakeda at practice yesterday.
Oh!
Kebakeda is going to throw down on many a fool's head in the season. Little pick and roll there. I like that. Well done with Dallin Hull and Kebakeda. That's just a taste. If you like that appetizer, just wait for the season.
Does his hand even touch the rim? That was like a Blake Griffin literal throw down.
And here's a close-up of what that basketball looked like. Yeah, it's a throwdown. Question, is it a dunk if your hand doesn't touch the rim? Because there's some level of, like, is it a better dunk if you don't actually touch the rim?
It feels like
it's
harder.
Because you have to get high enough to throw it in.
Yes, it feels like it requires more athleticism, and it's more difficult to just, like, throw it down, literally.
Not a thing that you and I would be familiar with. But Blake Griffin, one of his greatest dunk throwdowns, it was a throwdown.
Poor Timothy Mozgov. Twice against Blake Griffin.
He ain't poor.
He never recovered from that emotionally. Financially, he's doing just fine.
Timothy Mozgov, career salary. I'll find it later.
That said, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
82 mil.
BYU finished tied for fifth, which is just unbelievable.
You know where people have us, and we don't like it. And we're out to prove we are better than what they think.
What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Let's start with football today, shall we? Because more college football season projections are out for the entire world to look at and ponder over,
dude,
including BYU fans.
Media Day is what, two-ish weeks away in Vegas?
Big 12 Media Day is coming up. College Football Network, the latest to release their power rankings of each and every single Division I FBS college football team. They have BYU at, wait for it, number 96. We thought 92 was bad. 96 is the lowest now. So congratulations, College Football Network. You have put BYU at the lowest we've seen of anything going into 2024.
Is someone going to go lower than that preseason, you think? 96, is that the low?
It would be, I don't see BYU falling into the hundreds.
Someone will do that.
Holy cow. 15th among Big 12 teams, which is in line with what we talked about last
worse?
Week.
Houston? Who is worse?
It's either Houston or Arizona State.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's take a look at, as I mentioned, all of the experts and where they have BYU ranked nationally and picked to finish in the Big 12.
Experts in quotes. Nice.
Bill Steele. Hey, 73, Jerem. Okay.
Let's not act like that's something to celebrate here. Calm down.
I'm being facetious.
Good.
14th in the Big 12. Gulp. Athlon Sports, 68. Mm. Number 14 in the Big 12. Lindy's has BYU at 62, which is essentially dead in the middle of college football, and 13th, so that's the most favorable. Let that sink in.
Yay.
62nd and 13th in the Big 12 is the most favorable.
Hang a banner, Spence.
Pro Football Focus, 90th and 15th, and then what we just mentioned, College Football Network, 96th and 15th out of 16.
Wonderful teams. News. Great stuff.
We're bugged, obviously. BYU football is collectively bugged. Kalani Sitake told me recently, I've got a locker room full of guys that have all they've heard for the past 4 weeks is how bad they're going to be. And they don't like it. Like, they're legitimately
bugged. I love
bugged.
This.
They're bugged.
Because they're going to
be. That's all they've heard
motivated.
For the past month is, oh man, BYU's going to be terrible. They're only going to win four games, maybe five if they're
and
lucky.
And the juxtaposition of that team up north expected to be very, very good in the league. This is kind of the motivational Super Bowl here.
Sure. BYU is not being given anything close to favorable odds to play good football this season. But we think that BYU is certainly better than the 4.5 wins and better than number 96 overall in college football.
I do think that, and it has nothing to do with said employment, honestly. Like, just I just think they're better than that.
So the question is, why? Why do you think BYU football will be better than these experts say they will be?
Let me give you not one, not two, not three, but four reasons why. Number one, the run game will be improved, okay? When you're 111th, last year, 3.4 yards per carry. You can do better than that. BYU is going to be better than that. They're 120th in yards per game. PFF ranked 123rd in run game. You get a new O-line coach. Number two, the tight ends will be better. You get a new tight end coach, Kelvin Gilbride. Keanu Hill moves to tight end. Reiner Swanson, one of the highest signed recruits of the Kalani era. As a freshman, he's going to be awesome. Ethan Erickson, Jackson Bowers, Anthony Olsen, Mata'ava Taiasse, and others will be improved in the tight end game. Okay, number three, second year with Jay Hill's defense. Just continuity. You're going to get guys familiar with it. Health at safety. Last year, BYU started like seven dudes. Felt like Tyler Batty back at the end. Ben Bywater's back. He's an NFL guy. Jack Kelly's going to be the most impactful newcomer, we think, at linebacker. Sonny Tuala could be the next Ziggy Ansah on the D-line. I'm not saying fifth pick. I'm saying guy that didn't know the game a ton a couple years ago, going to be an impact guy. Watch out for Sonny Tuala.
Has a very potential high upside.
BYU really likes what he could do here. And then number four, BYU has a year under their belt in the Big 12. They know how tough it is, how deep you need to be, the quality there. It doesn't mean you automatically win games just because you know something, but it means, okay, we know what work we have to put in. We know what type of players we have to recruit. I think BYU's recruited really well the last 2 years as well. We're going to start to see some of those guys come up and make some plays, perhaps as some of the backups and whatnot. BYU didn't hit the portal hard. They're banking on continuity in year two and L.J. Martin being awesome and Jake Retzlaff in the playbook and so on and so forth. Those are my four reasons why BYU will be better than the so-called experts believe they will.
Okay. We don't talk about these things before the show.
No, I don't want to know your opinion. I just want to state mine, hear yours, and sometimes they overlap.
We send them to our producer, and then it's typically Jerem's thoughts and Spencer's thoughts, and then we see how close we are, and sometimes we're very different. But in this case, I will read you what I literally sent to our producer, Colton Potter, okay? Why BYU will be better? New coaches, TJ Woods, offensive line, Kevin Gilbride, tight ends. Year two under Jay Hill as a defensive coordinator. Jack Kelly, specifically, the transfer from Weber State. Ben Bywater back to help lead the defense.
Yep.
And the safeties, collectively, because they've had like seven different starting safeties back there. They'll have plenty of depth there. Something like that.
Because I just said seven. Yeah. We like the number seven around here.
The returning core is where I'm probably putting my most stock into. And that leads us to our stat of the day. 26 different returning players started at least one game in the 2023 season, Jerm. 26 different players started at least one game. Wait for it.
Is that on one side of the ball?
Okay.
Because 22 would be the minimum, right?
18 players that returned this year started at least four games.
Yeah.
I drew
26
the line.
Is not a lot. I thought it'd be higher.
I drew the line.
You're telling me there were only four other dudes who started a game?
Well, these guys, a lot of those guys graduated.
Oh, among returning.
Returners.
Among returners.
Yes.
Okay. How many
among
graduated?
Among returners, 26 started at least one game.
Okay.
18 returners started at least four. I feel like, again, four, like it's a
that's
third
a lot
of the season.
That's a lot of experience, yeah.
So I'm banking hard on the core that BYU will bring back, and I think that's why they will be better than 4.5 wins.
The core, when the core didn't perform well and they come back, they don't automatically get better. Like, there are teams that go 4-8 and then they bring back a bunch of people and they go 4-8 again. That's not going to be the case with this BYU team.
I think that's atypical, though. Don't you think there's typically a little progression when you bring back the majority of your core? Like, a little bit.
You would hope so. It's not automatic, though. Like, there were plenty of teams in the Mountain West that stunk, brought back a lot of people, and stunk again. This is Power 4 football. This is Big 12 football, All-State, 12 football or whatever. We're still waiting on whether that's official. It's not automatic that you get better, but in this case, this team is motivated. Some of them were young. Some of them were injured. I just don't see how BYU goes back-to-back losing seasons. I just don't. BYU's going to a bowl game. It's just whether they can show us a 7 or 8-win season is my hope here. And my belief. Those are two different things here.
Yes. So, yeah, it hurts. Like, the motivating factor is certainly there for BYU. How much will that show itself in terms of wins and losses? I don't know.
Bowl game plus.
But I feel like the core and better coaches and primarily a better offensive line, better pass protection, better run game.
Papa John's.
Will get BYU to at least 6 wins.
Yeah, better ingredients, right?
Papa John's. why do we think? Because BYU, the core is in place, and you got better coaching, straight up.
And if it doesn't happen, Spence, there will be change. There will be. There was change last year to try and induce change, and there would be more change to try and induce more change. So hopefully that doesn't happen. BYU goes to a bowl game, but we're good. Okay, here we go. Topic two. As we just discussed, preseason expectations. Low football. No one's ignoring that.
Ultra low.
While men's basketball has a ton of preseason hype, we were talking about that yesterday, which begs the question, regarding preseason stuff, do you like a lot of preseason hype entering a season, or do you like low expectations? Because that's what we're kind of dealing with in football and men's hoops right now. It is a very different vibe.
One is certainly more fun than the other. It's more fun to have preseason hype. It's more fun to be in preseason top 25s. It's more fun to have preseason all-conference players. It's
you
fun
wouldn't rather
to be
talk about
discussed.
Being in the 90s?
It's fun to be discussed. But there is a pressure associated with that. I'm going to use the 2008 BYU football team as an example. Going into the season, BYU, we knew they were going to be good, but then all of a sudden, it was like, well, this team could potentially be special because you bring back like Max Hall, who just as a sophomore just won 11 games. And you've got arguably the greatest receiver to have ever played at BYU in Austin Colley, who is at the peak of his powers. Oh, and you have one of the best tight ends in college football.
In
Dennis Pitta. And you've got a great defense with a ton of returning experience led by the defensive mastermind Bronco Mendenhall.
Harvey Unga.
Oh, and you had Harvey Unga. Like, there's a reason that team had a ton of hype around it.
They deserved it. 100%.
But there is pressure associated with
it. But don't make a phrase like quest for perfection.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well,
I know that was a little bit self-inflicted.
That was a marketing issue.
It was a little self-inflicted.
A team issue.
But that can be problematic. Like, the pressure there is like, oh, man, like, this team is good enough to maybe go undefeated and be, this could be the BCS buster from BYU finally. It didn't happen. And we all look at that season and think, oh, 10-3, and it sputtered out. And I was like, oh, yeah, what could have been? 10-3 was a disappointment because of expectations, some self-inflicted, some put on by the media. So it was fun until it wasn't. Okay. Then I'll use the example of BYU basketball last season. It was so enjoyable and just like sheer joy because there was next to no expectation for that team. No. We were hoping they would be 500. Like, oh, let's just hope they go 16-15 in the regular season and don't finish last in the Big 12. That's literally what we were talking about. Yeah. They were picked to finish second to last, 13th. It was so much fun, and that joy was overflowing because of the low expectations. So while it wasn't fun as a buildup, man, it was awesome to just blast those low expectations out of the water, just fly super high. So I am actually leaning in this conversation, pick one or the other, to low expectations. It's been so much fun to talk about Kevin Young. BYU's in a realm and in a stratosphere that they've never been in with recruiting. And
it's been an off season for the ages.
It's been win after win after win after win in the off season. That is super fun. Granted, BYU's pick probably going to be picked to finish what, like 7th in the Big 12?
It's pretty good.
It is really good, but it's they're not 25. Picked to finish first. So, yes, there are expectations. But for football, I feel like they just have this massive opportunity because no one's expecting anything from BYU football. So if they do something like, you know, win 8 games and finish top half of the conference, we'll all think that was so much fun and that was so great. And the energy and the juice is back in football. And then maybe they can go do something even more special the next year. So for me, preseason hype is more fun, but looking at basketball and football right now, I actually prefer where football is because no one expects anything. There's just way more room to surprise people. If basketball is good, it's like, well, you were supposed to be. Like, what is basketball going to do that you didn't expect them to do? Get to a Sweet 16? That's a pretty high standard. So it's a slippery slope. I don't know. It's kind of it's a tricky beast. Where do you fall on this? Do you like the hype train more than the low expectations?
Crappy programs expect nothing. You know what I mean? BYU's not a crappy program. Just going into this season, they had a crappy season. So, no, you need to be good enough to have expectations. Because if you have no expectations, that means something bad happened previously. I don't want the bad thing to happen. I don't want the no NIT WCC season to happen. I want to make the tourney, right? And then it's like, did we win a game or make a run or not? So, yes, obviously it's more fun to have hype. And it's fun to match said hype. Is it more fun to be surprised? Well, sure, but we have a daily show. We got to get excited about something. What are we? We're excited about football exceeding expectations, making a bowl game. That, hey, that's great, but if they won like 8 games, now we're talking, right? Or 9. That'd be amazing. That'd be like what basketball did. But I would rather have the offseason hype. Not to artificially not live up to it. It's to get excited. And it's merited, right? Basketball's hype is merited. We're not saying football is going to win 9 games because it's not merited at the moment. But you earn that when you play the games. And that's the fun part, right? We talk about it. We hope for things. We think things. And then you play the games, and sometimes it's different. Oftentimes, it's very different. So I would rather have off-season hype. One, because we have 5 hours to fill, 4 in June and July a week. And I don't want to just talk about making a bowl game only. Like, it's exciting to get excited about something.
Yeah, again, there's no really wrong answer. Like, both have their benefits, for sure.
Yeah.
2020 BYU football is an example, too. It was a back-to-back 7-6 season.
We didn't know what to expect.
Then COVID happened. It was like, I don't know what the heck's going to go on. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, they were knocking on the door of a major bowl game. And like they were at the center of the college football universe because they were not getting enough respect. And Kalani Sitake is on the college football playoff show.
We love being disrespected here, too. We love no one. Yeah.
That's part of it.
But also going into 22, that offseason into 22, they deserved to be hyped.
And they didn't.
They deserved
perform.
It. Yeah.
And
that's disappointing.
And it was disappointing.
But they deserved to be hyped. Yeah. What are we going to say? They're not going to do anything? They just went 10-3.
Then there is an occasional hyped team that delivers. BYU women's soccer, hyped team. And I
delivered.
Think they still overperformed. Like, they got to a Final Four.
Yeah.
We said they were Elite Eight good. They did one better. Jimmer Fredette, that team was good, but we weren't sure how good they could be.
We didn't know Jimmer would be like –
we didn't know Jimmer Mania was going to happen.
Astronomically amazing.
And then he got to the Sweet 16 even without, Brandon Davies.
Shock your way into the Sweet 16. Awesome. So, you earned that in the regular season.
There's occasions where there are those hyped teams that then go to another level, and that – I think is the pinnacle. I think that is the most fun because you get the preseason hype and then your team overperforms.
Sure. Yeah. I don't want off seasons where we don't get excited. I don't want that. That's no fun. It's no fun.
I'm excited to see how BYU football responds to all this. Again, if I'm Kalani Sitake, I'm hanging
If they don't respond well, that'd be bitterly disappointing. Really will be. You got to at least get to a book.
Number 90 and number 96 and 15th in the Big 12 all over the locker room. Constantly reminding them this is what they think of you. All right, question of the day. Do you want BYU to have a lot of preseason hype or enter the season with low expectations? Where do you fall right now? Because we're seeing it two ends of the spectrum with basketball and football. One has a ton, the other has none. At Kugmack on X says, BYU basketball benefited from low expectations last year, hoping the same in football this year. Hard to stop the August hype balloon from overinflating every year.
Well, we're not inflating this team. We're saying hopefully they make a bowl game. We're not saying they're going to win 8 or 9 games. Men's hoops deserves it. When you sign 2 NBA possible draft picks, we expect something.
But how much time do you give the basketball team? I think that's the big question around.
One season. Do it this year.
That's a tough standard.
Everybody could transfer. That's how the portal works.
It's a tough standard.
I don't expect that, but you got
to
do it now.
If they don't get to a Sweet 16, is that disappointing?
given that amount of talent, it might
That's a tough standard.
Let's see how they come together.
When you haven't won a first-round game in 14 years.
But also, Yegor Demin doesn't know or care about BYU's history in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s.
This is for the fans.
Exactly.
This is not about Yegor. This is for the fans.
No, but Yegor's the one doing it. We're just watching.
Hashtag BYUS on an X, Facebook, and Instagram to join the conversation.
Okay, we've got a really fun show coming up on Friday. It's BYU Football, another era show, back to the 80s. Part one, we'll cover 1980 to 83. Jim McMahon, Steve Young, going to be awesome. Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
It's quite a guest lineup there.
Pretty
Jim
good.
McMahon and Steve Young.
Pretty good.
Who will go head-to-head later in the show? How about that? Up next, BYU steeplechase star James Corrigan discusses taking third at the Olympic trials and gives us specific details as to what he needs to do to qualify to run in Paris. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
He is a champion.
In order to win races, you have to expect that you're going to win in order to make it happen.
James Corrigan is the Big 12 steeplechase champion. We are live at Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, the Big 12 steeplechase champion. James Corrigan is chasing even bigger things.
We thought that was pretty cool at the time, and it was.
A trip to Paris, perhaps, to run for the United States of America in the Summer Olympics. Now welcoming in James over Zoom. Wow.
What a
last little while for you, James, including the weekend where you finished third in the Olympic trials. How would you sum up your weekend, James?
Man, it was busy. I don't know what else to say. I started journaling this morning and trying to figure out how to put it all down on paper. But I think more than anything, it was just electric.
Okay, in the race, obviously you have goals and aspirations and thoughts going into this. Was a podium finish, if you will, was a top three finish among the possibilities in your mind? Did you think that high?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the reason you go to a championship. And like I said in my previous interview, you go into these things and you have to expect to win. You don't do it by accident. However, I will say you don't emotionally prepare for what it's actually going to feel like. And I think crossing the line, you saw that. And so less of maybe like shock, it was, oh my goodness, we actually did it, you know? So I guess there was some shock factor for sure. But yeah, you have to plan for it, but you can never fully prepare.
What was it like for you to see your good friend and teammate Kenneth Rooks in the number one spot and then realize, oh my gosh, we being the emphasis, Kenneth and I both finished in the top three?
Yeah, that was special. I know how much pressure it was riding on Kenneth to really perform and stuff, so it made me super happy to see him repeat in a very dominant way. And then also the last time we raced was our cross-country national meet. We've never raced in the steeple, and so the last time we raced, we had a very similar, two-person spread, and I was the one who was lucky to turn around and see him, and so this time it was awesome he turned around and I got to say, Kenny, I got third, and just for both of us to share that moment.
It's pretty cool. They should have given you an opportunity, though, on NBC to be able to talk. You know, the top two guys got to talk. They left you out. I was like, oh, and then Kenneth was trying to say something else. They had to go to break. Next time.
No worries. We'll get lots of opportunities.
Okay, walk us through the scenario here, because you finish top three, you're not automatically going to Paris. You have to run within the Olympic standards. So that means this weekend you're going to Penn State, and your boy Kenneth Rooks is going to help you out. Explain to the people what's going to happen this week at Penn State.
Yeah, so actually, I just make sure to say it's not Penn State, it's just Penn.
Penn Relays, the famous Penn Relays. Yep.
Yes, sir. I'm so excited, though. It's going to be awesome. I feel so confident knowing that I have Kenny helping me out, and also just the backing of so many people on social media, as well as people in person helping get the meet ready to go. So I'm super excited to chase the standard. And, there's two options. One is getting the standard, which is obviously going to be the safest way. That's what we're shooting for. And off of world ranking points, we can get some leeway there. So we'll make it happen, and we're excited for it.
Okay, what is the standard for those that are looking for a specific number and something that they can look at and say, okay, he did it or he didn't do it?
Yeah, 8:15. 8:15 is the time to get. So that's the Olympic A standard that I'm trying to get this Saturday.
Have you hit that standard before?
Nope, not yet. I've run 8:21, and I ran that in the prelims. And I know people might be like, that's so far away. How are you going to do that? But really, the this entire season has just been a nice long progression. I don't feel burnt out. I'm ready to go. I'm peaking at the right time. And I've also got a lot in me. A lot of these races are run in lane two or kind of swerving around, and they're tactical. And so to really have a race set up just for the time, I'm very confident it will go well.
Could shave some seconds off. That's what we're talking about. And it is unique in that you mentioned you got some pacers in this. It's going to be unique because you don't have just one guy kind of running ahead of you that you got to keep up with. You're going to have multiple guys. So tell us about the unique nature of that part of this.
It is something very special. I mean, it's not every day you get paced, you know, a race just for you. And there's going to be other guys in there trying to get the standard. And so I'm grateful for that. It's going to feel, you know, even more like just a typical race. But I couldn't be more grateful for everybody who stepped up and was willing to help and find some of these guys to help pace, and for the Pacers being willing to help me chase my dream this in such a short notice as well.
What's your training schedule like leading up to the race, James?
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to do anything crazy, nothing different. We've already seen that our schedule of our normal training block works. And so today, actually right after this, I'm going to go hit a nice workout. So that'll be super fun. And then it'll be pretty chill, maybe some strides here and there. But honestly, we're pretty locked in, ready to go.
Let's go back to the race in Eugene. There was a fun video that came up of Ed Eystone and my neighbor, Ryan Waite. Ed is screaming, "Look at James! Look at James!" What's been some of the fun reaction of people who enjoyed watching you? And here it is, we're seeing it on BYU TV. They are freaking out. And then a camera follows them all the way around the stadium to go find you guys and give you a hug. What's been some of your favorite reactions to the race you ran?
Yeah, I asked for some videos from people that got to see the race, and I was not disappointed. So obviously this one from our friend Todd, and then the Stanford brothers, Jacob and Garrett at home, they sent me an awesome one of them freaking out. And my next door neighbors back in Los Angeles sent me a video of their kids freaking out. And I think those were just way, like, everything got way cooler knowing that they had so much fun watching it. And I think that's what makes it even more exciting and just exhilarating, is knowing that everybody else was feeling what I was feeling.
James, how is the running world, and specifically the steeplechase world, observing and viewing BYU right now? What type of feedback are you getting there?
People think we're building an empire in cross-country and track, and that would be right. But I think more than anything, people are seeing BYU at the right time, at the right place. You know, BYU, we're not doing anything, you know, special necessarily. As a program, we definitely are, but there's nothing, you know, more than just being very consistent and consistently good. But I think everyone's getting to see it on the big stage, which is, you know, every single year we do great. But I think it's awesome that on this kind of stage, they're really seeing BYU shine.
Will you explain the relationship with Kenneth Rooks and kind of obviously last, he's had the best year last year and this year, back-to-back USA championships, the NCAA championship and so on, the stumble, the recovery, it's been amazing. Of what he's kind of meant to you in that relationship and the opportunity to perhaps join him in Paris.
Yeah, 100%. Kenny's awesome. I wish our training would have lined up a little more, but obviously as a pro, he's not peaking at the same time that I am on a college schedule. But I think our relationship is definitely one of teammates and friends, but I also look up to him as, you know, someone who can also still give me like coaching tips on the steeple. I mean, he's that good. And so I really appreciate him being very Christ-like and willing to help. I mean, when you're a US champ, you know, you can think you're hot stuff. And I think Kenny does a good job of just taking it in stride, but being very humble and willing to help. So whenever I ask for help, he's always there and he'll give me pointers, but he also is just excited to see what I can do.
All right, James, last question. Is the track at the Penn Relays a fast track? What do you know about it?
You know, it's going to be. After we run under 8:15, it's going to be a fast track. It's definitely a mentality. So
it's going to be on fire. It's going to be blazing.
Fair enough. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma. And we specifically are asking everyone and anyone within Cougar Nation that can get to Philadelphia for the Penn Relays to come and support James as he chases the Olympic standard Saturday night at Franklin Field at Penn. Race will be at approximately 8 p.m. James, take all the karma. Good luck, man. We'll be watching and
good
cheering
luck,
for you.
Thank you guys so much.
James Corrigan with us on BYU Sports Nation trying to get to Paris.
He's going
to
do it, dude. He's going to do it this Saturday night. I can't wait. Okay, check out the latest Her Why podcast with BYU gymnast Mina Margraf. She goes in-depth about her journey to BYU. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Up next, BYU's Yegor Demin got his first recruiting ranking.
Okay.
What is it? Our first look at Lavelle Edwards Stadium as well in the new college football game. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out today's headlines.
More preseason projections out for Cougar football. This one doth stinketh to me. College Football Network's power rankings came out this morning. Cougars number 96.
Sweet.
15th in the Big 12.
Amazing.
Next,
BYU's Yegor Demin of BYU men's basketball received his first recruiting ranking from On3 over the weekend. And On3 gives Demin a four-star rating, ranked him as the 32nd best prospect in the 2024 recruiting class.
A little low for me.
I thought he was going to be a five-star guy. I mean, when you're a projected lottery pick.
It's not just lottery. It's top. He's seventh in one projection.
And so nine in another.
But still. Women's volleyball released its non-conference schedule this morning. They opened the season August 30th against Southeastern Louisiana, Fairfield High Point at the doTERRA Classic, Lipscomb and Georgia Tech in the BYU Nike Invitational, both events in Provo. First road match in San Diego against the Toreros. And then taking on Oregon in San Diego as well. BYU will wrap up the non-con three in-state matches. Utah State. What's up, Rob Nielsen? Back in town home at Weber State. Jeremiah Larson, who played and coached BYU, and at home against Utah Valley.
This next headline hurts. BYU softball star Ilana Agbayani announces she is transferring to Oklahoma after her first 2 years.
Oklahoma good at softball?
In Provo. Agbayani hit 424 and drove in 33 runs last season. First team all Big 12 performer. Oklahoma took notice as they moved to the SEC.
If only she'd hit 387, maybe they wouldn't have grabbed it. Daniel Schneeman, pinch hit for the Guardians yesterday, played right field in a 10-8 win over your Orioles. Jackson Clough had an RBI double for the Rochester Red Wings, the Nationals AAA affiliate. Austin Deming, two hits and an RBI for the Asheville Tourists, the Astros High A affiliate.
And the Big 12 has announced academic all Big 12 honors for a total of 58 BYU athletes, led by BYU men's basketball, women's swim and dive, who led their categories respectively, with the most athletes who produced a GPA of 3.0 or better, either cumulative or the two previous semesters, with at least 20% participation in games. Well done. Student athletes, those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Yegor Demin from On3, four-star, number 32. What do you think?
I still think he should be a five-star. Again, if you're a projected lot, like top 10 pick in the NBA draft, does that not qualify as a five-star? About 32, I thought was low. I thought for sure he'd be top 20.
Kanan Catchings, by the way, number 50. So two of the top 50.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then don't forget Brody Kozlowski, Elijah Crawford. And, you know, that's pretty good. I think of the top 115 or 120, BYU got five. So that's pretty good.
Again, a world that BYU basketball has never lived in.
It's pretty special.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
They have moved into a big, beautiful home.
Yes, they have.
You just mentioned the women's volleyball.
They can afford it.
Yes. You just mentioned the women's volleyball non-conference schedule. What stands out about it?
Love the Georgia Tech game at home, September 7th. Georgia Tech went to the Sweet 16 a couple years ago. They were in the Elite Eight as well. That's a huge game. At San Diego, the old foe who made the Final Four 2 years ago. Oregon is a good non-conference game. Certainly losing Aaron Livingston will be tough, but BYU's got a lot of talent and young talent on this team. So I'm excited to see. It's a new era. No Whitney Bauer at center.
Yeah, this is new
but
territory.
Alex Bauer might win the job, or sister. We'll see.
This is new territory for women's volleyball. Yeah. I'm most excited to see how they stack up against some of these teams because there's just a ton of question marks.
It'll be a good test.
Ton of questions.
And BYU took third in the Big 12 last year. They were good. No Texas, kind of wide open.
Yeah.
Okay, how big of a loss is Ilana Agbayani to Oklahoma?
I cannot emphasize how much this hurts. And I know that softball is a niche sport, and some BYU fans might not really understand, but she had a chance to be the GOAT at BYU, Jeremy. Straight up.
That good.
The GOAT.
Wow.
It feels a lot like when Shaylee Gonzalez went to Texas.
I feel you. Yeah.
It's pretty comparable, if not even more extreme, because I think she's going to be a first-team All-American at Oklahoma.
Mm.
She's that good.
Going for a five-peat there.
She is a special talent.
This would be like losing, our best football player to Georgia.
Yes.
Be like, oh, one, it's validating, but two, it's like, oh, that's different.
We lost you.
Yeah, let's say LJ Martin.
Alana's sister's still on the team, by
the way. Yes, Alea.
Yeah,
so Alea's still there, and she's a great player, too. Yeah. Alana is a special elite talent, which is why Oklahoma's like, hey, we saw that you beat us, and you were really good, and now we want you to come play for us.
I'm going to guess that there's some NIL money with Oklahoma softball that not many can match.
You think?
So, yeah, they're pretty good at softball, I heard.
She's good. Like, Alana's incredible. Happy for her opportunity. Yeah. Stinks for BYU softball.
Okay, we got our first look at the Lavelle Edwards Stadium in the new college football, EA college football video game. What do you think?
I want this to happen for every home game.
The stripe? Do you like the stripe for every home game?
The stripe's incredible. The stripe looks awesome.
They're missing some mountains there, but other than that, it looks great.
Yeah, the renderings are incredible.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much better and so different compared to the last version in 2014. Like, it almost looks like AI created it. Like, I saw it and I thought it was a real picture for a second.
I've been playing FIFA 2011 with my son. He has no clue how good it's going to be when we actually get a Xbox or whatever.
Holy cow, and you can see the individual, like little, what is that? Is it a pentagon? No, it's on the soccer ball. Like, you know the shape?
Is it the shape? Octagon? I'm not sure.
Anyway, when you can see, like, the individual shapes rotating, he's like, oh my gosh, that's next level graphics and design for sure.
It's a truncated icosahedron. Check out the latest Deep Blue podcast with the football director of mental health, Braden Brown. Is looking good, dude. He's lost like 40 or 50 pounds from his playing weight. As he details his career journey from the NFL to coaching, now to building mentally strong players at BYU.
You want a hype guy? Braden's your man. After the break, say hello to Kendra Gillespie BYU women's basketball. She joins us next to discuss why she chose to transfer to BYU and why she wants to play for Amber Whiting. Hey, they're building the program. This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Let us now welcome in, as a BYUSN family, Kendra Gillespie of BYU Women's Basketball, recent transfer to the Cougars. Kendra, welcome to BYUSN.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.
You can tell a lot about a person and their swagger by the shoes.
Especially a basketball player. Like, a basketball player's got to bring it. You're bringing it.
The cool gray Air Jordan 11s.
You know, I try.
That's okay. Awesome.
So are you a sneakerhead?
I am.
What's your favorite pair of shoes that you own?
I don't know. That's a tough one because I like to switch it up a lot. But I do like the 11s, though. I feel like it can go with a lot of things. I like the 4s as well.
Okay. Yeah. The 4s and the 11s.
Yes.
All fresh. There's not a bad Jordan. I mean, there's some that don't look as cool as some of the others, but hey, 4s, 11s, let's go. Okay. You transferred to BYU from Arkansas State. You were at Baylor before that.
Yes.
You're from Oklahoma, so you have some Big 12 ties. Mm-hmm. What's it like to be now here at BYU? Who's in the Big 12?
Yes. It's amazing being back in the Big 12. You know, it was always a dream of mine as a kid. So I'm pretty excited for this year.
You're from Oklahoma City?
Yes.
Okay, Big 12 country.
Yes.
Did you grow up rooting for the Sooners or the Cowboys?
I would probably say more of a Sooners, but for football. Other than that, it was just, it's always, you know, bedlam, going at it head to head, but it was pretty great.
And then you went to Baylor, and so you were in the Big 12. So we've had 1 year in the Big 12 here.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome in all the sports. It was great. What do we need to know about the Big 12 and Big 12 culture that maybe you know growing up in Oklahoma and having played in this already that maybe we don't know yet?
Yeah, so Big 12 it's a great, great conference. I just love the atmosphere of the Big 12 just because of you go to different states, you get to experience different athletes, whether that's speed, strength, whatever the case may be. But it is a pretty tough conference, and it's exciting.
Devoted fan bases.
Yes,
the one thing I noticed on the road, it is, in a lot of these communities, it revolves around the school and the program
like
and
fewer
their teams.
Pro sports maybe in that space, that's the team.
It
right?
is, yeah. it is, it demands attention of the communities.
No,
so
it does.
That it certainly makes it intense.
It does.
For sure, and a lot of fun, as you're saying. Okay, how much did you know about BYU before BYU popped onto your radar?
So I knew just a little bit. I knew last year was their first year in the Big 12. And actually, it's funny because I've never been to Utah before my visit, so it was
welcome
like,
to Utah.
it was very different, and I just fell in love with it right away.
What was your not first, to like yeah, the mountains.
Yeah,
right?
What was the first thing you were like, whoa, I like this place?
The mountains. It was like, it was just so beautiful because I come from Oklahoma, so everything's just flat there. So it was definitely a different scenery for me.
Why was BYU basketball a great fit for you?
Just Coach Amber and her coaching staff. I felt the culture, the love, and just the connection during my visit. And I was like, how could I not, you know?
And talking during the break, you don't know any of the current players already. So this is a hi, my name is stickers. You know,
right.
You're getting to know the team right now. How's
exactly.
that going?
It's going good. I mean, just building that relationship on and off the court and having the tenacity to just go at it every day and, you know, be ready for the season.
How would you explain your game to someone that's never watched you play basketball?
I would say dominant. I'm just going to do whatever it takes to win. Whether that's send a good screen, rebound, whatever the case may be, because everything else comes easy after that.
Are you a four or five? What's your preferred position?
Four and five.
It's four
just,
to five?
You know, it just depends on the mismatch. You know, I'm not really too quick, but my footwork is one of the things that I've worked on
that's
over the years.
That's the key. Yes. You may be the athlete with the longest hair we've ever seen. You have very long hair. What's it like competing as an athlete? With long mm-hmm. hair.
It's fun. It's just, you know, showing that beauty on the court.
Yeah,
and just,
it's awesome.
You know, getting to express yourself.
And that shows up in a myriad of ways, right?
Yes,
you can
does.
Vary it by game, what the hairstyle is going to
yeah,
be?
Yeah, you can.
Does that depend on mood? What's the vibe there with you of what you're going
yeah,
with?
Yeah, just the mood. And then I'm kind of superstitious, so if I'm okay. like, one hairstyle, I'm really like getting buckets, and I'm gonna do that again.
That one, I'm averaging 12
don't
game in.
Touch right. my hair.
I love that.
It's lucky hair right
I
now.
I love that.
Kendra Gillespie of BYU Women's Basketball is on BYUSN. What kind of conversations have you had with Amber Whiting about your specific role? So, like, how do you envision your role playing out once you get on the floor?
Really just being tough, like I said, being dominant, and just doing whatever it takes to win, being a leader, because I am pretty experienced. I'm a senior this year, so I know what it takes, and I've seen, you know, the talent. I've been in the Big 12 before.
What are you most excited about for your final season in college basketball?
I'm just excited to learn and grow. I feel like after that, everything else will just come at ease.
Okay, fair enough. Again, when you get on the floor, like, how do you build chemistry with a team when you are so new? And there is a core of players that have kind of been playing together. Mm-hmm. So what's the key to, like, fitting in quickly?
Yeah, I mean, just learning each other's personalities on and off the court. I think really off the court, just because it'll be easier on the court, just knowing, you know, like, what type of person you're dealing with or, like, the relationship you have. So it's easier to talk to your teammates.
Come from an athletic family, right?
Yes, I do.
So will you tell us about that?
Yeah, so I was always coached by my mom, except for like maybe 1 year, which was my last year of AAU. And it was that year was pretty hectic. It was during COVID. I was coached by Jason Terry. So it's been amazing. I always got the question, like, how do you feel like being coached by your mom? And it was like, it was amazing because she just knew what I could do, when I could do it, and she just brought that dog out of me.
You and Amari Whiting can have some conversations
yes,
about
definitely.
That. Right?
Yes, you definitely.
Can. And on your bio, it says you aspire to be a D1 coach when you're done playing.
Yes,
you want to coach. Why do you want to coach?
I just think just being a servant to others and just, you know, having that impact on others, not necessarily just about winning games, but building those relationships with those players. And after the fact, like, you know, attending weddings and things like that. I just want to be a mentor to young ladies.
We're so
that's
glad
awesome.
You're in Provo and in Utah
thank
and
you.
Enjoying
welcome.
The mountains.
Happy to be
great
here.
To have you. Yeah.
And a part of BYU Sports yes. Nation. Kendra, let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma. Good vibes. Okay?
Yes.
You're superstitious.
And have,
the karma will help with that.
Okay. And have fun at practice. You guys are in the middle of going hard right now.
Yes, yeah. we are.
Okay, yeah. And enjoy that. Be well. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so
thanks,
much.
Kendra
Gillespie of BYU Women's Basketball making her BYUSN debut. After the break, the first spot in our Best BYU Quarterback Bracket Championship is set. Ty Detmer or Robbie Bosco? And who's going to take the other spot? Jim McMahon or Steve Young?
Dude, if someone has to lose that, holy mackerel.
This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I just told Eddie, just throw it.
Legendary Steve Young.
I'd watch Jim McMahon throw, and I finally realized how you throw a football. One of the most technically sound quarterbacks I ever was around.
This is a big matchup today. Welcome back to BYUSN for our best BYU quarterback bracket segment. We're narrowing it down from 16 to 1. You, the fans, will decide who the greatest to ever play quarterback at BYU is.
Okay, yesterday, Ty Detmer taking on Robbie Bosco, and the winner with 90% of the vote.
90%?
Is the Heisman Trophy winner, Ty Detmer. He is into the championship matchup. 90%. People love the Tizeman.
I thought it would be a little closer because of the national championship. But I was with you. I thought Ty Detmer would win.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it would be 90.
Yeah.
10.
Yeah, 90's pretty convincing. Well,
the Heisman's it's a heavy bat.
Turns out if you win the Heisman, people like it. It's crazy.
All right, today's semifinal matchup. Good luck.
How are we gonna pick between these two? What?
Two college football Hall of Famers, the 2-seed Jim McMahon and the 3-seed Steve
this
Young.
Better be winner by 50.1%. Like, Jim McMahon, the 2-seed. Let's talk about him. Played at BYU from 77 to 81, 95, 36 passing yards, 84 touchdowns. It's funny how 84 shows up in a lot of these stats. Led BYU to their first bowl game win in 1980 with the Miracle Bowl. Fifth in the Heisman voting in 80, third in 81. 70 NCAA records, still holds 10. Drafted fifth by the Bears, which is tied for the highest pick in BYU history with Ziggy. Would have been Steve Young had he gone to the NFL, went to the USFL. Won Super Bowl 20 as a starter, 15 seasons in the NFL.
70 NCAA records.
70! Holy mackerel.
The 3-seed, Steve Young. Some of you think it's ridiculous he is the 3-seed, but it is what it is. Played at BYU from 1980 to 83. Steve passed for over 7,700 yards, 56 touchdowns, 65-plus percent completion percentage. His senior year was unbelievable in that regard. One of the best, as he set the NCAA single-season completion record, led BYU to an 11-1 finish, their highest ranking ever to date. He got BYU into a final top 10 ranking number 7. That's something Jim McMahon did not do.
How dare you.
And he finished second in the Heisman voting. So that too could be seen as a one-up of Jim McMahon and some of his predecessors. Who's gonna win?
Who are you voting for?
Here's what's unfair about
this.
Say
the name!
Okay? BYU, this is about their college careers, but like their pro careers are gonna sneak into this.
Steve.
So I think some of you are going to lean towards Steve Young because he is a pro football Hall of Famer.
Here he's only. Until Andy Reid will be in there.
Yep. Andy Reid certainly is going to be in there. And he's a two-time NFL MVP. But if we're talking BYU careers, like,
my vote's Jim
McMahon.
It's
probably Jim.
Jim is the greatest BYU quarterback ever.
Steve would probably tell you.
Very close with Ty and Steve.
Steve would probably tell you that if it were just BYU careers, he would pick Jim McMahon. Like, that's Steve.
And you're going to hear from both in our 80s show part one on Friday.
Yeah. Wow. Again, good luck.
This one's the tightest one. This will be the tightest one.
I'm having heart palpitations thinking about picking one over the other. Like,
I have heart palpitations watching those highlights.
Oof, that is tough. All right, our question of the day. Do you want BYU teams to have a lot of preseason hype or to enter the season with low expectations? Where do you fall on that spectrum? Our elite voice today presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Logan Barrett on Instagram, who says, it's more fun to rise from the ashes of low expectations.
So you like a dumpster fire to create on fire.
Well,
I don't like the dumpster fire.
The thing is, 83 was
right.
Was
most of the time that's the case.
But 83 football was number 7, and then they were unranked, and so there were low expectations for 84.
I don't want men's hoops to not make the NIT so that we celebrate when they make the NCAA tournament. Just make the tourney every year.
No, my point is, like, you can have a great season, but, like, you might lose a bunch of players to graduation, and, like, expectations are low. It doesn't always have to be a dumpster fire.
That's not been the case with the last football and men's basketball seasons that are at question and in question here.
Today, Rising Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Blaine Fowler got his first hole-in-one yesterday. Gavin Fowler was there, so we have to believe him. Mm-hmm. No, we love the Fowlers. Congratulations to Blaine. This was at Riverside. First hole-in-one, baby.
I was with him when he bought that Masters hat. I wish I could have seen the hole-in-one. I've never witnessed a hole-in-one in person, have you?
I've never seen one, no. On Tiger Woods Golf, I did them. Many of them.
Little bit different. Our thanks to today's guests, James Corrigan and Kendra Gillespie.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. Do you think he has a hole in one? Probably not.
Dennis? I don't know. That's a great question.
Probably not athletic enough.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Trent Whiting. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs!